GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. Maine Senator Susan Collins dialing in for GHRT Q&A. Senator, how does it feel to be the second most popular graduate of Caribou High School this morning? I wonder if I could start right there.
That's a great question. I am so proud of Jessica Muir. And by the way, I think I actually am the third. Mike Thurston probably is the second. He made that wonderful basketball shot in 1968 that won the state championship. But back to Jessica. I love that Jessica, since she was a little girl, has wanted to be an astronaut. And she worked so hard to achieve her dream and sends such a wonderful message to all the little girls and boys growing up in Maine, particularly in some of our rural areas, that they can be whatever they want to be. She's proven that.
Like she said yesterday, if you're not failing, you're not trying hard enough. And I think that's a lesson for kids and adults. I told our listeners we're actually going to do something different. We're not going to talk about politics. We'd like to talk to you about policy. There's a lot of frustration about what's not getting done in Washington because all we're hearing is impeachment and hearings and whistleblower. I wanted to follow up with a couple of items with you. And one is the Tick Act, because Lyme disease, and you can attribute this with climate change or global warming, whatever. The ticks were brutal this year and we're paying a health cost for it.
That's absolutely right. The incidence of tick disease and tick-borne illnesses such as Lyme disease have just risen exponentially. The numbers nationwide have gone from 30,000 in 2003 to nearly 500,000 last year. And here's the thing. Maine has the highest incidence of tick disease on a per capita basis in the country. And that really worries me. And that's one reason I held a hearing at the University of Maine's Tick Lab. We have a wonderful resource there directed by Dr. Jim Dill. And they will analyze ticks to see what pathogens it's carrying if you get bitten by a tick and send it into them. But this is a serious public health problem. And the hearing I held also featured two witnesses who had actually had Lyme disease and other tick-borne illnesses. Paula Jackson Jones has been a real activist in this area from the Mid-Coast region and had to go to 27 different doctors before she got a correct diagnosis. The other person who testified, who has had Lyme disease and has permanent Bell's palsy, so he can't fully smile, is a former staffer of mine. And we also heard from a witness from the Centers for Disease Control and a doctor who practices in the Portland area. So the good news is the bill that I've introduced, which would provide grants to public health departments in Maine and other states, is going to be considered by the Senate Health Committee tomorrow. And I'm very optimistic that we'll get it approved.
Mm-hmm. Talking policy, not politics, with Maine Senator Susan Collins. Another point that we have been hearing lately is a lot of money coming to Maine in the way of transportation funding, and also some recent work with HUD dealing with lead abatement. Wanted to get a follow-up with you on those two items.
Your timing's perfect, because on the floor this week is the transportation and housing funding bill. I chair that subcommittee in the Senate and work very closely with Jack Reed from Rhode Island. And fortunately, there's a lot of common interests that we have. And I'm going to take the second issue first. Maine has some of the oldest housing stock in the nation, and a lot of it, and not a lot of it, but there's a substantial amount of housing that is contaminated with lead paint that is not in good condition. It's peeling, and that can pose a serious public health threat to children under age 5. It can give them, it can create intellectual disability problems, behavioral problems. So it's, again, a serious public health threat. So we have increased the funding for lead paint remediation by 167% in the last few years to a historically high level. And just recently, Maine communities in Lewiston, Biddeford, and Portland received grants under this program that will help them make the housing safer for young children and pregnant women. This is a problem we're going to have to keep working on, but I'm proud of the fact that this year, in this year's bill, which is on the Senate floor right now, we have $290 million to combat lead hazards, and that's an historically high level.
Okay.
So, on transportation, you've only to go over our roads and bridges to see the problems that we have in Maine. And since I took over the subcommittee, I've been successful in advocating for more than $300 million to replace some of our deteriorating bridges. We have bridges in Maine that are 40, 50, 60, even many years older than that. And they aren't safe anymore. They're ruled as structurally deficient or obsolete. I've been on bridges in Piscataquis County where you couldn't have two trucks cross at the same time. And that was one of the bridges that has been replaced through a special program that we've created that is geared towards rural areas and small states that have deteriorating bridges. So there are other examples as well. The Sarah Mildred Long Bridge coming in from Portsmouth, New Hampshire into Maine is essential for the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard to be able to ship out materials related to the overhaul of submarines at that shipyard. But in virtually every area of our state, whether you're looking at Rumford or Jonesport or Madawaska or Kittery, we've been able to secure funding to replace bridges.
Another thing, I heard it in their newscast just a short time ago, there's a lot of talk about the Boeing 737 MAX, and I know that you recently took some people to task over the way that that was handled. I think they threw the pilots under the bus, whereas the problem was in the software. And Boeing is, I guess now it's coming to light, and maybe Boeing's got a price to pay out of this. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
I am really concerned about both the FAA oversight, that's the Federal Aviation Administration's oversight and certification process for new aircraft, and also Boeing seemingly far more worried about its deadlines for airline delivery than safety. FAA's primary mission is safety, and it's always got to focus on safety first. When Boeing made this change in the software in its cockpit, it failed to train pilots on how to use it, and it didn't even mention the change in the manual that comes with the plane for the use by the pilot. So that's very disturbing to me, and it seems like there was too much deference given by the FAA to Boeing in certifying the 737 MAX, and the result is that more than 340 people lost their lives in two separate crashes. So we held an oversight hearing. There are many investigations going on. Boeing CEO finally testified on Capitol Hill yesterday and admitted to mistakes. But this is really tragic. I've met with family members who lost loved ones in these two flights, these that crashed, and they're understandably bitter and as well as struggling with their grief, because it surely appears that there were so many shortcuts taken to avoid the need for pilots to have additional training. Mm-hmm. And that's just plain wrong.
Let me squeeze in one last question. Again, we're talking policy, not politics, with Maine Senator Susan Collins. This is what's actually getting done in Washington, D.C. There's been a lot of talk about lobster traps having to make some changes for the way that people fish lobsters, haul lobsters in the state of Maine. And there's also a lot of talk about what America is about to impose on lobster fishermen versus what Canada will be issuing for rules against their lobster fishermen. And something's got to be done here to save a livelihood that's critical to our state. And is there anything going on in Washington to try to resolve that?
There is. There are two issues here. One has to do with the right whales, and there are about 400 right whales left. But when you look at the evidence, the Maine lobster industry is not the problem. In fact, the food supply for the right whales has been moving further north as the waters have gotten warmer in the Gulf of Maine. And when you look at the entanglements in gear, it's Canadian gear. There have been some entanglements in Massachusetts, but there have not been off the coast of Maine. And indeed, when I talk to fishermen, they tell me they've never seen a right whale. They've seen other kinds of whale, but not this fragile population of right whales. And the Canadians have also had ship strikes that have killed right whales just last summer. So I just don't think it's fair to impose burdensome, onerous regulations on the fishing industry when there's no evidence that it's going to help save the right whale. And I just think that's wrong. The other area has to do with what is known as the gray zone. Yep. This is an area of water where there's a dispute as whether it's Canadian or American. And the Canadians do not follow the good conservation methods, such as throwing back big breeder lobsters or V-notching lobsters or returning undersized lobsters. And it's very frustrating to our lobster men and women when they do all those good conservation methods and the Canadians fishing right close by don't.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.